Funding for Think comes from SMU Doctor and Master of Liberal Studies programs.
Two things have changed about the Scripps-Howard National Spelling Bee. The words have gotten harder, for one. Up through the 90s, the prize went to kids who mastered words like Lyceum and Kamikaze. Last year's co-champs had to spell, well, let's listen.
Feldenkrais. F-E-L-D-E-N-K-R-A-I-S. Feldenkrais.
That's correct.
Gesellschaft. G-E-S-E-L-L-S-C-H-A-F-T. Gesellschaft.
That is correct.
Feldenkrais and Gesellschaft. There you have it. What else has changed? Well, for almost a decade, the Bee has been won every year by a student of Indian heritage. From KERA in Dallas, this is Think. I'm Chris Boyd. Why do so many Indian American kids number among the country's most accomplished spellers? Journalist Vahini Vara wondered this herself. As a kid back in the 90s, she did Edmond, Oklahoma proud by making it to the National Bee twice. She placed 44th on her first trip and tied for third her second time. Since then, she's noted a growing number of kids of Indian descent dominating the competition at a far greater rate than their presence in the general population, and she set out to discover why. Her article, Bee Brained, Inside the Competitive Indian American Spelling Community, appears in the May issue of Harper's Magazine. She joins us this hour from the studios of KGNU in Boulder, Colorado. Vahini, welcome to Think.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
You open the piece with the scene of co-champion Nihar Janga spelling at last year's Scripps Bee. He was 11 years old at the time, and they called him the machine.
They did, yeah. It was a moment that went viral, and probably a lot of your listeners have seen the little YouTube clips of it. So there were two kids left on stage. There was Nihar Janga and Jairam Hathwar. They were friends. They'd actually known each other for a year. They'd met on the Indian spelling circuit. And Nihar got into this habit toward the end of this spell off where he would, it seemed to people that he was kind of showing off, like the pronouncer would say the word, and where kids usually ask for the definition of the word, this kid Nihar would actually offer the definition himself. Like, is this an Irish prime minister? Is this a Breton bagpipe? And so it was really fun to watch. And there was a moment where his opponent, Jairam, who was kind of favored to win, got a word that Nihar clearly knew and Jairam didn't know. And Jairam was up there trying to spell the word. And as he started to spell it incorrectly, Nihar just shakes his head in this like really fierce way in the background with a very straight face. And the bell dings. Turns out, you know, Nihar had been correct. Jairam got the word wrong. Jairam sits down and Nihar just slowly starts clapping his hands in his friend Jairam's face, which I think to viewers seemed like kind of an affront, because the kid had just, you know, misspelled the word and it seemed like he probably wasn't going to win. Nihar later on told me that actually he was trying to cheer up his friend. So who knows?
You just tossed off the phrase they had met on the Indian spelling circuit. And I had not known this was a thing. But for serious competitors, this isn't something that happens once a year. Spelling is a full-time hobby or avocation.
It is. Yeah. And actually, to be honest with you, Chris, I hadn't known it was a thing either. And the way I came to this story was only partly that I was a speller myself. What happened was I met this other guy who won the spelling bee, the Scripps National Spelling Bee, in, I think, 2008. And I met him in New York, and I actually asked him, he's an Indian American guy like me. And I said to him, you know, when I was in the spelling bee, there were a fair number of Indian kids competing, but it wasn't a thing for Indian kids to win year after year. What happened? Like, what's the secret? And he let me in on this little secret, which is that there is this, you know, underground Indian. I mean, it's not that underground, but there's this Indian American spelling circuit that has gotten really popular in the years since I was a speller.
So you went to Tampa to meet up with Nihar and Jairam at this Bee sponsored by the North South Foundation. So this one is specifically for kids of Indian descent. How did it come to be?
So back in 1993, a man by the name of Ratnam Chithoori, who was an immigrant to the U.S. from India. He immigrated here back in the 60s. Felt like he wanted to do something to give back to the Indian community. And actually what he started with was he started a foundation called the North-South Foundation that gave scholarships to kids back in India. This guy had a friend who said to him, you know, you're doing all this stuff for kids in India, but what about our kids here in the U.S.? What can we be doing for the community here? And this friend of his proposed a spelling bee for Indian kids. And it was somewhat arbitrary. There was the first Indian American had won the Scripps National Spelling Bee a couple of years earlier. But the founders of this North-South Foundation Spelling Bee tell me that wasn't what drove them to do it. They just thought, hey, you know, spelling is a good competitive way to get kids to learn vocabulary, to do well on the SATs. And so they gave it a try.
There is a space explicitly labeled the War Room at the NSFB, the North-South Foundation B. How would you describe the overall climate there?
It's funny. It's both very collegial and community oriented, because a lot of these kids, you know, they're sort of from the same community, the same ethnic community. And so it's a fun way for their families to get together, to be honest. And I think they have a great time and the kids have fun. And, you know, they're being kids. They're kind of like playing around and showing each other their favorite videos on YouTube or whatever kids do. But the leadership of the North-South Foundation, especially Ratnam Chithoori, the founder, is very serious about this undertaking. And so Dr. Chithoori decided that he was going to call the room in which, you know, the volunteers prepared and all the preparations took place, the War Room. And it's really just, you know, you walk up to the room and it's just like a, you know, a sheet of computer paper with the words War Room typed on them and stuck on the door. And it was on a college campus. So it wasn't, you know, it didn't feel like you were on a military base or anything like that. But certainly there was this great sense of seriousness as you walked into the room and saw the preparations taking place.
And the competition starts at a really young age, so that Indian American students who are participating in these bees start to take spelling seriously maybe years before their peers.
Yes, exactly. And that was the thing that I realized was sort of key. As I started reporting on this story, I had read, you know, just some of the comments on the internet or articles that had been written about this mystery of why Indian American kids keep winning the National Spelling Bee. And, you know, even I, as somebody of Indian origin myself, thought, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe there is some, you know, sociological explanation, or, you know, I didn't go as far as to think there was some genetic explanation, but I thought, you know, who knows, maybe there is some, you know, obscure, interesting reason that Indians keep winning. And then it turns out that there's actually a really simple explanation, which is that because of this in Indian spelling circuit, kids are starting at a much earlier age. They're learning to spell and studying for spelling when they're, you know, 5, 6 years old.
I also love that there is now a competing spelling bee for South Asian kids that some purists consider to be too flashy to be respectable. And this was really interesting to me.
Yes. There's a little bit of a competition between these two bees. The other one has a very different origin story. So the other one, called the South Asian Spelling Bee, was actually started by an Indian American marketing executive who, I think because of his background as a marketing guy, sort of took a different stance. He said, you know, what would be really great is to have just sort of like high profile, flashy images of kids spelling in the media. And I think he had, you know, part of it was that, you know, he was selling advertising against this thing and it was sponsored for some time. And so, you know, it was good for business, obviously, to have something that looked flashy. But I think his point of view was also that, like, there was something good for kids of Indian origin to just see themselves portrayed that way, you know, to see themselves doing something that seemed, in his showing of it, kind of sexy.
When you got into competitive spelling as a kid, was it just because you were good at spelling, or did you think this is something that lots of other Indian American friends are into?
It was not the latter. No, I mean, it was complicated. I loved to read. Obviously, you know, I grew up and became a writer and a journalist, and so that's persisted. But as a kid, I loved to read. I loved to write. I loved words. And my mom, to her credit, she was a competitive she was a competitive mom who really challenged me to take what I was interested in and do it really well. And there was actually, it's a funny story. There was a kid, we had just moved to Oklahoma from Canada. And I think my mom had this sense that, like, you know, we're in the U.S. now, you know, we used to be, you know, big fish in a small pond. And now this is a bigger pond and we need to prove ourselves. We just got here and we need to show that we can sort of like, we can compete with the other Indian kids around here. And so she's kind of singled out this local Indian kid named Bernie George, who happened to have won the Oklahoma State Spelling Bee the previous year. And so she said to me, you know what, we need to make a project of beating Bernie. And it was partly just like my mom's competitive streak. But then it was partly the fact that I inherently was interested in spelling. And so I took to it. You know, I didn't say like, ugh, mom, why are you making me do this thing? Everybody's going to make fun of me at school. I said like, oh, this is going to be fun. I like spelling.
At social gatherings, when there was your family and other Indian American families, you talk about academic achievement being like real social capital.
It was not in an explicit way. It wasn't like, you know, the other kids and I were like sitting in the basement having spell offs or anything remotely like that. But, you know, in the communities where I grew up, and I think this is true not just of, you know, Indian kids, but of a lot of immigrant communities, like the social life is really oriented around families. So it's not just like it's, you know, you're an individual kid hanging out with your individual group of friends and your parents have nothing to do with it. It's like these families all come together and spend time together. And I think in part because parents, you know, Indian parents, all parents, maybe especially immigrant parents, care about achievement. That interest in the part of parents sort of filters into just the social dynamic in general, because it's not just you and your friends. It's like you and your friends whose parents are telling them, hey, you know, like maybe you should be spelling too. Wahini's really good at spelling, you know. Or to me, you know, my mom might tell me, hey, you should really try harder to compete in math contests. This other kid over here, I heard he, you know, got first place in the state math competition.
How did your mom help you study?
She was so intense in like the most wonderful possible way. First of all, we were really close. So we just like, I spent a lot of time with my mom and I liked hanging out with my mom and she liked hanging out with me. She did work. And so when she wasn't working on weekends, we would like, you know, sit around literally for hours, like sometimes maybe, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 hours. And just she would drill me, like she would say a word. I would spell it for you. She would spell it for her. She would tell me if I got it right. Or correct me if I didn't, and we would just sort of keep working on the words that I didn't know. But when she went to work, she came up with this sort of ingenious solution to not being there to drill me, which is that she taped herself on one of those like bulky 80s, 90s style tape recorders. She taped herself saying a word, then spelling it out loud, and then saying another word and spelling it out loud. And I was supposed to, what I would do is I would play the tape and listen to her say the word, hit pause, spell the word out loud to myself, hit play again to see if I got it right and sort of score myself in that way.
That's really amazing. What a time commitment for her.
It was. And I, you know, I don't talk about it in the article, but I have a 2-year-old now. And, you know, I do my best to like try to engage him in thinking about, you know, like language and numbers and the kinds of things you're supposed to do. But it's not nowhere near what my mom was able to do.
My guest is journalist Vahini Vara. She's a contributing writer to The New Yorker. We're talking about a piece she has in the May issue of Harper's Magazine. It's called Bee-Brained, Inside the Competitive Indian American Spelling Community. We'll come back to the conversation in 2 minutes, and you can join us by calling 1-800-933-5372.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program, where students can pursue their passion. You can study social justice and build activism skills with summer courses like education, equality, and human rights. You can apply now at smu.edu/mls.
You're listening to Think. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking this hour with journalist Vahini Vara about her article, Bee-Brained, Inside the Competitive Indian-American Spelling Community, which you can read in the May issue of Harper's Magazine. If you want to join the conversation, you can call 1-800-933-5372. Vahini, we will move on from your mom, but the last thing I want to say is that she became an expert speller herself, despite the fact that English wasn't her first language.
She did. Yeah. So she, you know, she also had always loved language. And in fact, when she lived in India, she wrote short stories in her local language and got them published. And when she was studying with me, she learned those words just as well as I did. And this wasn't unique to my mom, by the way. This is true of many of the spelling parents I've met. But she got so good at it that when Scripps held a parents only just for fun spelling bee, which really was supposed to be just for fun, she got really intense and competitive about it and just knew the words so well that she placed second.
Take that, Bernie George's mom.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones now at 1-800-933-5372. We have Scott calling from Irving. Hi, Scott.
Hey, a quick question. I was just curious, for these kids, is any language fair game? Apparently German is. Any language? I guess Russian and Chinese have the characters, but is any language fair game in these spelling bees?
So any word that that's in the Merriam-Webster dictionary is fair game, and actually there are many words that sound to us, like sound to a layman, like they're words that are not English words, but they are considered English words because they're in the dictionary and they've been adopted from these foreign languages, which is why you sort of hear these exotic sounding words. If you ever watch the National Spelling Bee, and you might think to yourself, like, wait a minute, that's not an English word, but it is technically.
People who are really good at Scrabble have to know a lot of words. They have to know how to spell them, but they don't have to know what they mean. Turns out that doesn't really fly for the spelling bee.
No, and I think that's part of what I loved most and still love most about spelling bees, which is that actually, if you want to be a really good speller, you have to understand pretty intimately the relationship between spelling and the meaning of a word, because the only way to sort of know how to spell well is to kind of know about all the language roots from different languages that sort of are put together to make a word. The word that I lost on when I was in the seventh grade was periplus, which means to circumnavigating an island. Huh. And I got the first part of that word right because I knew that P-E-R-I is a root that means to go around, or not to go around, but is related to the perimeter of things.
You know, what's interesting is that all these $5 words are great to know how to spell and great to know the meaning of, but sometimes if they are obscure enough, you can't really use them in conversation, can you?
Oh yeah, no, not at all. And that's that's sort of the part of the game. That's like the higher level game of it, which is that in order to spell many words, it helps to sort of know the roots that might be even familiar to a non-speller like P-E-R-I. But yeah, there's a whole other level having to do with just these words that you memorize because they're just like, they're so obscure and there's no way to figure them out using roots. And that's when you get to like, those are the words that, you know, you hear in the final rounds of the National Spelling Bee.
One of the spelling parents you talked to estimated that to be a serious contender for a national championship, a kid has to know how to spell something like 150,000 words.
Or more, yeah. And wow. This actually, the spelling parent you're referring to is the father of Nihar, the guy we talked about at the beginning of the conversation who's known as the machine. And it was actually Nihar's mom more than his dad who was his coach. And just for fun, I kept running words by her. She's not in the article, but I just, you know, kept running several words by her whenever I saw her. She was in the room and she got all of them right. Words that, you know, I had never heard of, but that I just, you know, overheard at the spelling bee.
Did you see any spelling parents losing it? Like, you know, lots of people know the stereotypes, which are probably unfair, about dance moms. Are spelling parents the same?
I did not see any parents losing it. Parents that I observed were very, clearly really invested in their child's success, but also very supportive. And, you know, if their kid missed out, you saw a lot of parents, like, you know, putting an arm around their kid or giving their kid a hug. But it is true that there is some level of parental intensity. The guy who the man who runs the bee, Ratnam Chaturi, who I've mentioned, told me that parents will come up to him and say, like, you know, my kid's only in the first grade. Why does he have to compete against fourth graders? And since my kid's in the first grade, shouldn't his words be easier than the fourth grader's words? And there was even a point where parents started complaining to him that the little trophies, the little participation trophies he was handing out to kids were too small. And so he had to make them bigger. And then people still complained that they were too small. So he made them bigger still. And finally, like, he described them to me as being so big that the kids can barely hold on to them because these kids, of course, are like 6 years old.
So it seems like this is probably a good thing for kids. It does get them engaged in studying language. You have some concerns that maybe this competition is more available to kids whose parents have the means to take them across the country to compete.
I do. I mean, this is true. This is true of many kinds of competition. Obviously, it's not unique to Indian American kids or unique to spelling, but you know, it costs, I think it's about $50 or $60 to enter a kid in the finals. And on top of that, parents have to fly their kid, usually fly at least one of themselves, to wherever in the U.S. that the finals are being held, pay for a hotel room. So the costs really add up. It could cost, you know, like several hundred dollars or even into $1,000 to have your kid compete in this event. So whereas I think the founders of the Spelling Bee of the Indian American Spelling Bee at the outset really wanted to have a kind of inclusive culture that would benefit Indian kids of Indian origin from all backgrounds, it has turned out to sort of be something that that kids from a certain background participate in. You know, my father was a doctor. That's true of a lot of the kids participating here. A lot of the kids' parents are engineers, for example, or scientists, and so these are kids with, you know, parents who are professionals, who have advanced degrees, who are probably much wealthier than the average parent of a kid in the U.S. And certainly I didn't see a lot of kids whose parents were, you know, cab drivers or motel owners or, it came from backgrounds other than you know, these sort of professional, highly educated backgrounds.
All right, let's go back to the phones now. Again, our number is 1-800-933-5372. Patrick is calling from Port Arthur. Hey, Patrick.
Good afternoon. By the way, as a former cab driver, which I am, and as a pretty good speller in elementary school, I went 2 years and only misspelled one word on one test, which I was very proud of.
Wow.
At the time. I'm curious. I took care of my father for 3 years, and I was housebound, as he was. So I watched a lot of television, whether I wanted to or not. And I'm not indicting the spelling Scripps spelling contest, but that's where I first encountered it, and I was fascinated by the whole thing. But I'm curious if you know of this person I'm going to ask you of. She's not Indian-American, but she won the Bee spelling contest in either 2004 and 2005. It would be right in those 2 years. And the reason I'm asking this is because I think that she is probably responsible for the popularity that sort of seemed to explode after that. She was 13 years old. And the only way I can describe her personality was uncontrolled effusiveness. She was just out there, and she captivated everybody. Oh, I'm sure the TV audience as well. She later went to Harvard University, I read. And I'm curious if you know who that person is and what happened to her.
Do you remember her name, Patrick?
I don't, and I wish I did. She was amazing, and if you don't know who I'm speaking about, you know, go back and take a look at her, and you'll just be stunned by her performances.
Well, do you remember her, who Patrick might be talking about, Mohini? Or...
Unfortunately, I do remember her. I don't remember her name, and I know that a lot of spelling enthusiasts out there will remember, because I know what Patrick's describing, and I remember her enthusiasm. There have been a couple of really enthusiastic spelling kids over the years, and what I will say, I'm sorry that I can't speak to that young woman or what she ended up doing. But what I will say is that the Spelling Bee started to be broadcast on ESPN actually around the time that I was in the Spelling Bee. And I think just because of the rise of sort of like, you know, selfie culture and reality TV culture, kids have gotten really good at the sort of performative aspect of being in a spelling bee in a way that they weren't when I was in the spelling bee. And so I think like part of it is that kids are cute and just often naturally effusive and energetic when it comes to the things that they love doing. But also, you know, this thing gets enough attention now that I think kids have fun just like sort of hamming it up and being on TV and just like being cute on a stage with hundreds of thousands of people watching them.
I was surprised to learn that Lil Wayne is a fan of the National Spelling Bee.
Yes, he was tweeting about the Spelling Bee as Nihar and J-Rom were spelling. And yeah, it's so were other celebrities. You know, it's become for just a couple of days at the end of May and beginning of June, it becomes this sort of pop cultural phenomenon.
By the way, we have a note from our producers. Carrie Close is the winner that Patrick was talking about. So if people want to Google her and find out exactly what that looked like, they can. All right. So I want to talk a little bit about the clues that can be mined from word origins and definitions. And are there tricks that these young spellers use, Vahini, to give themselves an edge if they're not familiar with a word but can kind of work through it?
Yeah, there are several. The most so often you'll hear kids ask for the kids who are most intense about spelling, the ones who often win, will usually ask for all the information that's available about a word. So they'll ask about the language of origin. They'll ask about the roots. They won't ask about the roots, but they'll ask about the language of origin. They'll ask the definition. And the reason they're doing that is that often, for example, there may be a root that actually comes from two different languages and it means two different things in those two different languages. And it's spelled, you know, it sounds the same, but it's spelled differently. And so if you hear something that sounds like a root, you know that it could come from one of two languages. Once you know what the language is, you can kind of narrow it down. So that's part of the game of it. And then, as I'd mentioned, if you study all the roots of words, you know, not just Latin and Greek, which are now considered very basic. When I was in the spelling bee, like what we did was we studied Latin and Greek roots of words. But now spelling has gotten so difficult. Spelling bees have gotten so difficult that kids are studying, you know, they're studying Sanskrit, they're studying Chinese, they're studying Japanese, they're studying German, all the various language roots that are out there. And then if you know the roots and can sort of match that to the sound that you're hearing, that can help as well.
You're listening to Think. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is journalist Vahini Vara. We're talking about her article in the May issue of Harper's Magazine called Bee-Brained, Inside the Competitive Indian-American Spelling Community. You can join our conversation at 1-800-933-5372. Texas has had a lot of Spelling Bee finalists in recent years. You know that Dallas in particular has been considered a kind of incubator of Indian spelling champions. Why would that be?
I wondered about that when I started hearing at the North-South Foundation Bee that Dallas is sort of the place to be. There are a couple of capitals, but Dallas is a very serious spelling capital. And a couple of parents offered and kids offered theories. And I should caveat this by saying I have no idea whether this is true or you know, just based on assumptions parents are making. But one theory that I heard, and it seems plausible, is that in the Dallas area, A, there's a large Indian American community. B, there are a lot of parents in that area who are very highly educated and sort of come from that same background that I described as sort of being the sweet spot of Indian spellers. But then also that perhaps because of Southern, you know, the culture in Texas, there are more stay-at-home moms. Perhaps because of the culture, and I should say also perhaps because it's the cost of living is lower in the Dallas area than, say, in the Bay Area or New York City area, there are a lot of stay-at-home moms who are highly educated who can become their kids' spelling coaches and spend several hours a day working on it. And so, again, I don't know if this is true. And maybe some of your listeners who are spellers, you know, from Indian American spelling families in the area will have thoughts on this. But that is a theory that I heard a couple of times.
It's a big deal just to get to the Scripps B or the national level of the NSFB. You tied for third place your second time around. I'm curious, when you think back, did that feel like an extraordinary victory at the time, or did you focus more on, like, why couldn't I have gotten X number more words and been the champion?
It's funny that you ask. You know, before, when I placed 44th the first year, I did say to myself, like, oh, I kind of have caught the bug. I want to go next year and do better. And at the same time, my mom wanted me to be good at everything. And so she was pressuring me. This isn't in the article, but she was pressuring me to join the math club. And I said to her, you know, Mom, like, I'm already doing this spelling thing that's, like, pretty nerdy. And I don't know if I should be in math club, too. And she said to me, if you place in the top 10 at the National Spelling Bee next year, you don't have to be in math club. And so I went to the National Spelling Bee. You know, the numbers were going down. I was sitting there on stage. You know, at the end, there were, you know, six of us left or something. And I came in third place. And to be honest with you, my first response was that I was sort of proud of myself. I thought, like, wow, I got 44th last year. And this year I'm I was one of the top 10 finalists. That's pretty exciting. I did well. And then my second thought was, I don't have to be in the math club next year. And then I walked out of the room and there was a sort of, you know, TV camera set up, and I think they were just interviewing the kids who were coming out and had placed high. And so I sat down for an interview and I was feeling pretty great about myself. And then their first question to me was something like, so you struck out, you didn't win, huh? How do you feel? Aww. And that was actually my first, like, you know, that my first inkling that maybe I didn't succeed as well as I should have.
My guest is journalist and former Spelling Bee contender Vahini Vara. Her article in the May issue of Harper's Magazine is called Bee-Brained, Inside the Competitive Indian American Spelling Community. We'll join the conversation, rejoin it in 2 minutes. You can be part of it by calling 1-800-933-5372. And of course, we are on Twitter at KERA Think.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program for working adults interested in human-centered leadership. You can take courses this fall like Personhood in the Age of Corporate Enterprise. You can apply now at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking this hour with journalist Vahini Vara, who's a contributing writer to The New Yorker, and she has a piece in next month's issue of Harper's called Bee-Brained, Inside the Competitive Indian American Spelling Community. You can join us by emailing think@kera.org, or you can call 1-800-933-5372. Vahini, I always think about what the transition is like for, say, competitive gymnasts who, you know, by the time they get into their early 20s, probably are not competing at elite levels anymore. What is it like when, if you've done the NSFB, these kids have like 8 years of competitive, intense spelling under their belts, and then there's really not a way to use that competitively, at least, as they move into high school? They age out.
You know, I spoke with some kids, and I certainly remember this feeling, who said that there was like a little bit of a sense of emptiness or loss when they neared the end of their spelling years, like they didn't know what to do next. At the same time, I think because this is an academic sort of competition, it's actually a little different from something like gymnastics, where these kids are so well rounded and down to earth. I was very impressed with these kids I met, these, like, you know, 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 year old kids who finish spelling and then they go on to high school. And, like, you know, I talked to one girl who's in the article, who was going on to high school. And so she was competing in this North South Foundation Spelling Bee one more time, but she had moved on to working on her second novel.
Wow. You know?
So these are kids who, like, they're high achievers, and they're creative. And It turns out, I don't know why this would be the case, but I have met a lot of spelling kids who end up like going into medicine or neuroscience, and also into banking, investment banking. And I don't know if like what the actual percentages are. So this, you know, may just be the kids I've met who have gone into those fields, but it may just because those are fields that attract high achieving, you know, ambitious, competitive people. And spellers tend to be high achieving, ambitious, competitive people. But with something like neuroscience, for example, I kind of wonder if there's some link between being interested in spelling and language and being interested in how the brain works.
All right, let's go back to the phones now. Our number 1-800-933-5372. We have Diana on the line in San Antonio. Hi, Diana.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question for your guest is not limited to the Indian culture within the spelling bee community. It's more of a broad question. I was just curious if she had seen any impact of all the texting that the kids do these days in the preparation methods for the spelling bee.
You're talking about like social media texting?
Yes.
Okay.
So the way kids prepare for the spelling bee has certainly gotten more high tech. So when I was in middle school, we had this huge dictionary that my mom and I would literally flip through and choose words from. And it was like very person to person, the studying methods. Now, kids very frequently are on their phones just looking words up on the Merriam-Webster website, which is actually, you know, it's kind of cool that they have that resource available to them. And Chris mentioned that spelling has become much more competitive and spelling bees have gotten harder over the years. And actually, one of the theories is that it's become easier because of technology to study for spelling. And so kids are getting better and better because of that. And I don't think that was exactly the question you were asking. I think maybe you were wondering whether things like texting and social media are taking away from kids' ability to concentrate on learning long, complicated words. And, you know, that may be partly the case, but there's also this really interesting to me flip side where it's actually getting them to become this small subset of kids who are interested in spelling, getting them to become more engaged and giving them more, you know, free, essentially, because all you need is an internet connection, resources to be able to study.
All right, let's speak next on the phone with Tom in Fort Worth. Hi, Tom.
Hello. You know, first off, I just want to say praise the Spelling Bee kids because I'm getting a master's and they have a far better vocabulary than I will ever have.
But same here.
But my question is, so I only caught the second half of this talk and I saw that you moved from Canada to Oklahoma, and I wanted to know kind of, because I'm thinking of my elementary school days, we did not look up to our Spelling Bee kid champion. You know, I'm trying to think, like, did it help you assimilate with your general Oklahoma classmates and junior high classmates or the Indian American community, or were you kind of like the nerdy, I don't want to say outcast, but
what are
you
saying about me? No, that's a really fair question. And to be honest with you, I wish the answer to this question were different, but I was a super nerdy kid and nothing was going to change that. My older sister was way cooler than me and she knew what you needed to do to make friends. I had my little group of nerdy friends and I was very satisfied with them. And like, I was so happy to just like be spending my days learning spelling. And the school was a good little community. The school and the teachers sort of made a big deal of the fact that I had won the spelling bee the way that they did with, you know, kids' sports accomplishments. And so I felt good about that. I think part of what I needed in order to care about spelling was to just be such a nerd that I didn't care about what the social implications of the social status implications of being a speller were. That said, I met a lot of kids at this North South Foundation Bee who were way cooler than I was when I was in middle school. So they've found a way. And I think maybe it's partly because actually the Indian community has grown and like the nerd community has grown and become more mainstream. I met a lot of kids who actually did a really impressive job, like being cool kids while also being good spellers.
All right, let's speak next on the phone with Venki in Kapel. Hi, Venki.
Hey, thanks for making my call.
Sure.
I figured the program would not be complete if you didn't hear from an Indian parent.
I was waiting for
glad you called.
Yeah, my question is that we have a spelling bee champion in Kapel whose name is Smriti. And strangely enough, She's the namesake of my daughter, who's also Smriti. Mm. And the challenge for her is Smriti Upadhyula, who's the champion, is sort of like a local celebrity. And my daughter is the one who's not the champion, Smriti. But my question more is I know that my daughters have a pretty heavy workload being in the gifted and talented program in the schools, that I really wondered if she had actually taken spelling seriously, how it would have impacted her ability to study the usual subjects that she needed to study. And if there's been any kind of study to see how these children who were spelling bee champions performed in the long run, and I think I got a flavor of that they've gone into medicine and stuff, but overall, compared to the general population, do the kids who have practiced and prepared and trained for the spelling bee overall perform better than the average kid, or the same, or worse? Is there any kind of data on that?
All right, let's get an answer for you. Thanks for your call.
These are all really good questions. So let me try to address them one at a time if I can remember them. So there actually has been at least one study done by a researcher named Angela Duckworth, who studies psychology and education and how kids learn. And people might be familiar with her book, her most recent book. It's called Grit. And it's about this idea that individuals, whether they're kids or adult, who have this thing called grit, which is a combination of being passionate about something and then also just working really hard at accomplishing that thing. People who have this characteristic actually turn out to do really well in life in general. So, you know, they do well educationally, they do well, I think, financially, and, you know, they're happy and satisfied in life. And this woman, Angela Duckworth, actually, one of her studies was of spellers who went to the Scripps National Spelling Bee. So it wasn't just Indian kids, it was all kinds of kids who went to the Scripps National Spelling Bee. And she did find that these kids, the kids who do really well, tend to be grittier than the kids who don't. And so there is potentially this indirect relationship between doing well at spelling bees and sort of success in general at large. I don't know that spelling necessarily leads to the success. It may just be that spelling bees attract kids who have those qualities. I wanted to mention that I did meet Smriti, and she was lovely. She was actually the girl who I mentioned, who, now that she's not spelling anymore, has moved on to working on her second novel. So obviously a really bright kid. And it sounds like, from what you've described of your kids' involvement in the Gifted and Talented program, your Smriti is brilliant as well.
My guest this hour is journalist Vahini Vara. She's a contributing writer to The New Yorker. We're talking today about her article, which is upcoming in the May issue of Harper's Magazine. It's called Bee Brained, Inside the Competitive Indian American Spelling Community. It appears in the May issue of Harper's Magazine. You're listening to Think. I'm Chris Boyd. Do you think that spelling will continue to matter, Vahini? As, you know, everybody brings up, well, you have spell check, so why should this be important? Do you think it brought something to your life beyond simply the ability to not incorrectly spell these words that you might want to use?
In my particular case, it very much did. I grew up to be a journalist, and I also grew up to be a fiction writer. I went to grad school actually for fiction writing, and I'm working on a novel, and my many of my friends are writers, and I really care about language and I love words, and it's, you know, one of the things that excites me the most and that I am most passionate about is just like using words to tell stories, as you can tell, because I do it for a living now. And so for me, there was a really strong connection, I think, between getting to spend a couple of years paying attention only to how words were spelled and having permission to do that and not have it be a weird fringe, you know, thing that only I did. So absolutely, for me, there was a relationship. Honestly, I don't know if that's necessarily true across the board. I'm sure there are kids out there who spend their middle school years studying spelling, becoming great spellers, and end up, like I mentioned, going into neuroscience or being doctors or being investment bankers. And obviously there's not such a one-to-one relationship there, but clearly there's probably some relationship between, you know, the discipline that you learn and the sort of attitude about language that you learn that I would hope carries through to the adult years.
All right, let's go back to the phones one last time. We have Deval on the line in Houston. Hi, Deval.
Hi. So my question is it's very common that most of the Indian kids, they end up in STEM fields. And clearly, I would only assume that competing in something like spelling bee influence your choice of career. Do you see a lot of kids and parents being encouraging the kids to pursue non-STEM careers, something in language or literature, once they participate and compete in something like spelling bee?
What parents told me is that they want their kids to pursue whatever they're interested in. In practice, I did notice that the kids who I met were largely going into or had plans to go into either STEM fields or investment banking, which or consulting, which are also fields that obviously attract a lot of smart, ambitious Indian kids. And so I did see most kids going into those traditional fields. Obviously, as a writer myself and as somebody who loves the humanities myself, I would have loved to meet more kids who said to me, like, oh, you're a writer. That's what I want to be. I don't think I met a single kid who said that to me. And so, you know, or, you know, not even you're a writer. That's what I want to be. Or but maybe like I want to be a musician. I would love to be an artist, or I want to, you know, be a historian. I didn't hear any of that. So, which to me is unfortunate because, you know, these kids are so creative and so smart. I'd love to see that diversity in all kinds of fields.
What makes a word hard to spell?
In my view, what makes a word hard to spell is if it doesn't follow any of the language rules. So you can't use a root. You can't use the language of origin. You can't use the definition to work out what the word, how the word might be spelled. Is just a word in the dictionary that you had to have just memorized in order to be able to spell it. And, you know, if you didn't come across it, you've struck out. And so, yeah, I think that's what I would describe as being the most difficult kind of word.
Is Nihar headed back to the Scripps Howard Bee this year?
Actually, when people win the National Spelling Bee, they can't go back again, which is unfortunate because he's so charming and was so fun to watch on stage that I'd love to see him again.
Have you kept up with Bernie George?
I called him while I was working on this article. I actually had, I saw him in between one time. It turned out we had a sort of mutual friend in common. So I did see him back when I was like in my early 20s. He has his own startup called Investor. He went into financial services and now has a startup called Investor that's a website that's aimed at making investing easier for the common man, and is a really, really nice guy. He was so gracious. He also has a 2-year-old, and when he told me about his 2-year-old and was telling me how like funny his 2-year-old was, I found myself saying to him, like, I've got a 2-year-old and my 2-year-old's really funny too. So I guess I still have that streak. Exactly.
Journalist Vahini Vara is a contributing writer to The New Yorker and has an article in the May issue of Harper's Magazine called Bee Brained: Inside the Competitive Indian American Spelling Community. Vahini, it's been such a pleasure. Thanks for making time for us.
Thank you, Chris. This was really fun.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker. Shelley Canavy is our technical director. Samantha Guzman is associate producer. And Jeff Whittington is executive producer. We're on Facebook and Twitter at KERA Think. You can subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or at think.kera.org. I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening and have a great day.